This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Different crowd today. Now, most of these people that are going to be here are celebrities, either former athletes or current Champions Tour golfers, which means they make a lot of money.
Yeah, I wonder how many people, what percentage of this list is not millionaires?
I think just about everybody here has two commas.
Okay.
I think everybody's, this is a two comma place. So you know how when you go to a charity event, an auction, they'll have like a silent auction and the opening bid's at $50, or maybe you get one at $500.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think the lowest thing I saw in there was like $4,000. There's a trip to the Amalfi Coast that starts at like $32,000. There's an NFL.
Can I not go to the Amalfi Coast for less than $30,000?
Maybe at like a Hampton Inn, but not where they're gonna stay.
Yeah.
There's a Shania Twain meet and greet that's like $10,000. You can go get yourself some NFL game day passes, two passes to an NFL game day. That's only $12,000.
Oh, okay.
So that's
$12,000.
It's like field passes. It's like, man, they are on a different world than we are. Just a different world. That's what happens, though. You know, that's what happens. Sports got a lot of, there's a lot of money in professional sports, man. A lot of it.
Let's bring in Terry Franco. Let's ask him what he would bid on or whether he has checked out any of the items as the World Series champion manager sits down here on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan, and no one else is up. I'm surprised.
No.
I thought, golf was an early game, Choppy, and
it
no
is.
One else is
yes.
up except for Terry Francona.
It generally is it's an early man's game, an early Rogers game. People get out here. It's dark. There'll be people on the range. They got lights on the range. You can get out there and hit a few balls, and I don't know if you can putt yet.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good, guys. It is early. You're right.
Oh, do we have him?
It is early. It's so early, I didn't know to turn my mic on.
No, that's our producer's fault. Did you check out any of the bidding items in there? Did any catch your eye?
I got here at 5:45. I don't even know where they are, but I guarantee you I will, every time I come here or something, I love looking at that stuff.
What is the last thing you've won through an auction with an experience?
Where
you like, I have to have that.
Well, I got a Joe Montana football helmet. I actually got a Michael Jordan basketball, which was really stupid because he played for me. probably couldn't just ask him. But so, not the smartest person.
What about a trip?
I've never done anything like that because up until now, I was always working.
Yeah.
So, this is first time I can really do something like this.
So, with The Last Dance and being the Jordan junkies that we are, going back and watching it, and everyone's like, oh, my God, Terry Francona was the manager. He really could have made the bigs, you believe, as a hitter. Because the stats that you recite in that, I'm like, oh, my God, did he really do that in that short amount of time?
It wasn't that bad at all.
You know, there's a couple reasons I said what I said. And what I said was I think he would have found his way to the major leagues. Now, I don't think it was fair until he had about another 1,000 at-bats, just because I don't care who you are. But the one thing I found out early on, if you tell him no, he's going to find a way to make the answer be yes.
Yeah.
It's just the way he's built. And so I would never bet against him.
Who else did you manage that kind of had his mindset in Major League Baseball?
Couple people come to mind. One is Dustin Pedroia. Very similar in there. And I don't think that should be shocking. I mean, because Pedroia you know, you look at his body and then you look what he was able to do. He shouldn't have been able to be that good, but he willed himself. And then the other guy, he didn't play for me. I played for him, was Pete Rose. They just have that mindset that they can't be beat.
Pedroia was like, that was an interesting case because there's a lot of teams, aren't there, out there that just completely eliminate people under a certain height.
Yeah, I think it was gutsy by the Red Sox to take him as high as they did because, I mean, let's face it, the majority of those guys aren't going to make it. But he had that special, and I mean special, whether you call it DNA or a gene. I mean, this kid is just what you're looking for.
How stunned were you by the Rangers World Series run? What do you think of what they've built here now under Bruce Bochy?
I'll tell you what, a couple things that didn't surprise me, because they have Chris Young and they have Boch. So they've got baseball people and extremely intelligent people. Mike Maddox back there now. So, I think, again, I'm probably showing my age, but I think in today, and it's not just baseball, it's everywhere. Everybody's hiring all these young guys and everything, and then when things go wrong, they're not sure how to fix it. Mm-hmm. And you look like the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they went through some big struggles this year. Andy Reid knows how to coach. He turned it around. I think Boch is as good. I shouldn't say as good. He is the master. I mean, this guy just knows how to do things, and it doesn't always go perfect as their season reflected. But then you move on and figure out, okay, how are we going to get this done?
What do you think that he specializes in? Like we say, this guy's an offensive guy. Andy Reid's an offensive genius. We're always talking about relationships with Bruce Bochy. Is there an X's and O's thing? Is there something that jumps out where, like, okay, I know that he's going to have this?
You know, because the game is so different, and, you know, like when you watch it on TV, you see a football coach calling plays, or so in baseball you don't necessarily know what the manager's doing because it's kind of behind the scenes, but Boch is always a couple innings ahead. Like when you're playing them, you know that the game's going to get run like it's supposed to, so you better be ready.
Terry Francona sitting down with us here on 105.3 The Fan. Was Boch winning the World Series kind of like a little internal fist pump for the old school guys, because we were all going towards the young, inexperienced, and it's like, okay, maybe the old guard can still can still get it done with the gut a little.
You know what? And it's not just that, though, because Boch is universally revered by anybody that's been around him. So it's an easy guy to pull for.
Because the game, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the game not gone to the point where a lot of front offices will, they now are in charge of the lineup? Is that the way it is?
Yeah. The game has changed a ton. You know, it used to be, and this is a long time ago, the manager was kind of the face of the organization, the spokesman. And now it's not necessarily what they're looking for anymore. I think they're looking for somebody that can take an organizational philosophy and make it work in a clubhouse. Sometimes those aren't mutually, you know, they don't work together so well. But, again, I was really lucky in 11 years in Cleveland, because our guys are as smart as they come. And they want to be innovative, but they also let you manage the game. And I really appreciated that.
Do you like how the game has changed from, like, the it's gone more, like, there's a lot more information out today? Because you guys were like the first front office that kind of won the Moneyball way, right?
Well, I was actually in Oakland as a bench coach when that was all starting. That was 03, and they had just come out with the book and everything, and it was a great learning experience. And I guess the way I look at it is, if you're hungry for information, whether it's on video, whether it's with your eyes, whether it's analytics, as long as you're trying to answer something correctly, good. If like anything in this world, if you go all in on one thing and don't do anything on the other, you're going to miss the boat. So I think generally, the teams that do the best are the teams that incorporate everything.
You know, we've got a team here in Texas right now that they're struggling a lot with injuries. They've got most of their rotation down right now, half their infield's missing, stuff like that. You know, they keep having to call guys up. Guys they call up get hurt pretty quick. How hard is it from just a managing perspective to keep guys engaged with the idea of next man up and, like, hey, everybody's got to contribute versus – kind of being realistic with guys about, like, hey, we're in a tough spot right now, but we just got to get through this.
But I think there's a little bit of both of that. Is, you know, certainly next man up mentality certainly helps, but also being honest with the guys, saying the guys, look, our margin for error might have just got a little bit less, so let's not make errors. But we got to be realistic. you know, you're right. I still love following baseball, and I know the majority of the Rangers pitching is coming later, but you got to get to later. But I think they'll be okay. They're pretty talented, and they've also developed some really good young players. And I know they're hurt, but when you can infuse some youth with some of the guys like Seager and those guys, that's got a chance to get pretty special.
We all talk about this. You know, we talked about it last postseason about that run the Rangers went on in terms of winning all those road games, going undefeated on the road all the way to the World Series. Just from a perspective of somebody who's been in the game and managed those types of games, how difficult is that? Because we marvel at it, but like I mean, we don't necessarily have the same gravity of understanding of how sincere that is.
You know what? It when you get on a roll like that, it actually doesn't seem so hard. I know when you look back on it, maybe you're like, "Wow, that was." But when you're feeling it and you get good players, great players that get in that zone and they don't feel like they can lose, it doesn't really matter where you play.
In your best guess, pitcher injuries have been a major problem, obviously. I mean, elbow injuries left and right. Is it they're trying to throw their hardest at every pitch? Is it the sticky stuff is gone? Is it the pitch clock? Is it all of them? I mean, what is your best guess?
You know, I've been asked that a lot lately. I'm not smart enough to know if the pitch clock is affecting people or not. I mean, I hear people talk about it for sure. I just don't know. I'm not saying it doesn't. I don't know. Personally, I think, you know, when they took some of the sticky stuff away, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but guys are trying to grip it and rip it. That's kind of what, mm-hmm. you know, the philosophy has been. It's like, see how much you can make the ball spin so you can get, you know, vertical on your fastball and get some spin on your breaking ball. So now they're squeezing it, and every pitch is like the seventh game of the World Series. And I don't think people are built for that. And you're seeing some of the byproducts of that.
Terry Francona here on the Home of the Rangers, 105 through the Fan. So are you just like binging? What's your baseball setup every day of how you're getting it?
You know, what's funny is, you know, I was in the game so many years, but I found myself watching the game less and less. And now that I'm retired, I turn on my baseball package. And I see where, you know, I certainly know when Cleveland's playing, but then I look, okay, what game's close? Like, is it the eighth inning? It's 4-4. And I just bounce.
Yeah.
And it's been fun.
Are you retired?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I guess I'm technically a consultant to Cleveland, which I don't know what I'm consulting. But
I don't think any consultant has ever consulted. Like Dirk for the Mavericks.
But I thought it through pretty thoroughly. You know, last year around June, it was starting to kind of seep in there a little bit, and I was actually getting kind of mad. I'm like, are you in? Are you out? You know, these players don't deserve for me to be wishy-washy. And then when I told my guys, the bosses, in the middle of August, it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders, and it felt good. And, again, I love the game so much, and the game has been my whole life, and it's been so good to me. But I didn't want to overstay my welcome. And some of the things I think you need to do to be a good manager, it was just becoming harder for me.
Yeah.
I've heard players say, like, when they retire, like, not having a schedule is, like, the toughest adjustment. Have you found that? Like,
oh, it's having the greatest adjustment. Oh, man. I'm telling you, man. I think I was to a point where, because my whole life is, like, got to be at the ballpark at 8:30 or, you know, got to do this. And all of a sudden, you're right. There is no, and I kind of like it. Like, in the morning, sometimes my first decision is, do I have a second cup of coffee? As opposed to dashing out the door and going to the ballpark. But I'm okay with that. And, again, I don't know what I'm going to miss about the game because it's still kind of new.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Like, I think it would be kind of bad if I didn't miss the game after that many years. But it doesn't scare me. Like, I'm like something like this. I've never been able to do something like this.
Yeah.
So I want to try to enjoy some of the things that I've missed out on.
When did you get to the ballpark normally, like a 7 o'clock game? Like what time?
Oh, I'd usually get there about 11 in the morning. Because
that's a 12-hour
you know
day.
It give me
back when you managed playing the Yankees, it was a 4.5-hour game.
Oh man, you're not kidding. So those are 12-hour days. But that was by choice. I mean, I like to get to the ballpark, and like in Cleveland we had a little swimex, and I could take an hour and kind of, you know, clear my head and get all my work done before everybody got there. But again, and I loved it. But when it starts to get to a point where, you know, it's like my passion wasn't quite what I thought it needed to be, I think it's time to step aside.
the public enemy number one right now for Rangers fans after the last week. I know you follow baseball still, is Angel Hernandez after he missed three really bad strike calls on Wyatt Langford. You know, I know Ken Rosenthal had said this week, he said, like, MLB's got to do something at this point. How were your dealings with Angel Hernandez, and do you think there's reached a point where it's like, look, something's got to be done about how frequently these calls are missed?
Well, I'll tell you a couple things. One, Angel was on the crew of my last game in Detroit last year. So I took out the lineup card, and they were all being real nice and everything. And I said to Angel, I said, Angel, can I get your contact information, your cell phone? He's like, you know, he kind of looked at me. I said, I want to call you at Christmas and yell at you.
Did he give it?
No. Well, I was kind of teasing. No, he didn't offer. You know, the one thing I would say, guys, is because we have so much technology now, everything is measured. But if you go back 30 years ago and you look at the strike zone,
oh yeah,
I mean, it got really big. You go look at some of those Braves games, and I know Glavin and Maddox and Smokes are here, but man, that play got big. Now, you know, again, you know, you're talking about balls that are a couple inches, 3 inches off play. I just think for the majority of the, they're really good.
Yeah,
and it's just, you know, it's just so much so much technology that you can look at now to see. Oh man, they missed that ball by an inch.
So, are you living in Cleveland?
No. I love Cleveland. Don't get me wrong, but I live in Tucson, Arizona. That's where I went to school.
Yeah,
and built a home there. And I was going to say I want to get old and retire there. Well, I've already done that. but I love it there. Everything in Tucson revolves around the university, and I think that's kind of healthy.
Yeah.
You know, you miss
Stay young.
A little bit of the snarkiness maybe of a professional town. And I'm a big basketball, you know, NCAA basketball, so I go to every game.
Wow.
And it's just you wake up and it's kind of like here, it smells good and it's warm, and it, you know, for a body like mine, it helps.
So so is golf your number one hobby?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, when last year was over, I got my shoulder replaced so I could play golf, because it was getting to a point where, you know, just, you know, you had to try to find a slot that didn't hurt, and you know, it just, you end up going, I'm not going to play, and I want to be active. So yeah, I love it. I'm not good, but I love it.
Who are you playing with out here?
I have no idea who I'm playing with today. It's still dark.
How are you the only one up? You're the only one. Did everyone go out last night? Was there an event? Was there a party last night?
You know
night?
What? I don't think there was. There's something going tonight.
Okay.
And then I think tomorrow night, but when I knew I had to be here today, at like, you know, I got to bed, man. I'm not a spring chicken anymore.
You are on the second hole. You are
playing, who am I playing with?
Okay, you're playing with Billy Andrade. He's a good talker.
So that's awesome, because Billy and Ziggs, his caddy, and I've gotten to know them over the years. When they played in Tucson, they actually stayed at my house. So this will be a treat for me. Might not be such a treat for Billy.
Well, Harry Madera, Joseph Klickas, and Scott Campbell.
There you go. That's awesome. What a fun.
When they gave us the guest list, because a long time ago I had you on when I was in a little market 147 in Cambridge, Maryland. You were just as cool then as you are now. I was like, get us Terry Francona amongst everybody else. So thank you for sitting down, man, and congratulations on the time.
Guys, have a great day, okay? This is a really cool event, and it was fun talking to you guys.
The great Terry Francona sitting down with us here on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. How cringy was this moment? The cringiest moment of the week with Terry's second favorite sport, college basketball. We'll play it for you next, then the payload on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Don't you get that same feeling that you would want to play for Terry Francona like guys do Bruce Bochy?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Like, he just kind of is just chill. I could totally see. I don't think there's another manager that could come from 0-3 down. Like, his just demeanor is such that. I mean, you know, Bochy's got the same kind of demeanor, but Francona seems, you know, Bochy's kind of, he still has that different – feel to him. Like, you know, like Francona seems, I can't put words into it, but it's like he seems like he's not. Bochy seems like your granddad.
Yeah.
And Terry seems like your cool uncle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so maybe he can relate easier to 25-year-old. I don't know. Bochy seems to do fine. But, yeah, it's just, they're the same. They're cut from the same cloth.
Francona just sat down with us because we are live at the Invited Celebrity Classic. The KMC Masterpiece will be broadcasting from here as well. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. Cringy audio of the week has to do with Caitlin Clark. But before we get to that, the numbers are coming in. Bad Masters numbers. We're out here talking about golf. And the WNBA draft had three times more viewers than half of the four major American professional sports and their drafts.
So they had three times more. Okay, I didn't see that
They
part.
Destroyed the MLB draft.
Nobody watched that. The MLB draft is on MLB Network. Yeah. It's like not even really televised.
2.5 million people, obviously the most watched draft in WNBA history. The NBA draft was watched by 3.74 million, so they only beat the WNBA by a million. The MLB draft was watched by 744,000, and the NHL draft was watched by 681,000 and Gavin Spittle.
Yeah, the the MLB draft and the NHL draft are kind of the same. Like, there's no payoff, right?
You don't know who they are.
Well, you don't know who they are, but there's also no payoff. Like, you draft somebody,
and you're not going to see tomorrow.
Them. Yeah, you're not going to see them for 4 years. So it's like, what am I really watching here? And there's such a big miss rate, but. Yeah, and then, you know, the WNBA draft beat, you know, basically every WNBA game in TV ratings. Like, nobody watches 2.5 million.
The draft beat all the WNBA games.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? But the
not
Masters.
Really. It's not really crazy. But Bobby hit this on the head. All jokes aside, Bobby, what's it going to take for this to continue? You said
you got to develop Caitlin Clark's. Like honestly, I mean, and that sounds simple, but like in all honesty, like you need to. The WNBA needs to figure out a way to
Steph Curry's,
like, reach down into like the lower levels and like start talking to these girls' AAU leagues and everything else, and like get them to develop.
Yeah.
Like this kind of talent, like you got to start developing shooters, because you look at the last two, who are the two most significant female basketball players who have brought attention to the sport in the last couple of years? It's
Sabrina.
You get Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu. Yeah. Those are the two, and they're the same. It's
now Sabrina doesn't move the needle though.
Sabrina got a lot of attention for her 3-point shooting.
Yes, but like she didn't bring men to the sport, like the male audience.
Like I have no idea. I don't even know. Did she play at UConn?
No, Oregon. What?
I mean,
are you sure?
No, yeah, this is your favorite
sure.
sport.
No, this is
you love it.
This is the point. It has to take someone pulling up from like half court.
It does.
Dunking.
Right. Or
someone's Vince Carter. Okay.
They've had that. Like
no they haven't real, had Vince
no,
Carter.
No real dunking.
Real. Yeah. Like Candace Parker would dunk, like, which is the one handed dunk, which in the NBA game, WNBA game, is like, whoa, like everybody goes crazy, right?
Yeah.
Brittany Griner would do like just a two-handed slam, right?
Yeah, but talking about like Shaq.
Oh well, yeah, I mean we're evolutionarily away from that. We're away from that. No, we're just away from that. We're not there yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. That's what it's going to take to get someone like me to pay consistent attention. Since that's not going to happen, it's going to have to be. You're going to have to bomb away like Caitlin.
You're going to need a guard the size of Cardoso from South Carolina, who has handles, who's got the athletic ability, is just a big body. That's what it's going to take. Now, that's out there. Someday it's out there. You know, we didn't see Magic Johnson for the first 75 years of the NBA there, or LeBron James. So it's out there. It's going to take time. But
is this Josh Donaldson right here?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to let him know he was a friend of the show.
If they build their promotion around an individual superstar, they'll be fine. If they try to do what baseball does and build it around team success, they're going to fail, because people don't show up to watch teams. They show up to watch stars in America.
Who's Greg Doyle?
Greg Doyle is a newspaper writer, I wouldn't even say he's a cantankerous.
He's pretty self-righteous, though.
He's sanctimonious, self-righteous, OUSs.
These types of stories about him for some years now. We've brought him up.
Well, and he was in the news during the Final Four when he was like, I've been so focused on Purdue this year doing my job, I haven't noticed what a jerk that Danny Hurley is. And I'm like, dude, you haven't been paying. You're following college basketball? You got a front row seat at the NBA, at the NCAA championship game, and you haven't paid attention to Dan Hurley over the last 24 months. I mean, they won the title last year. You weren't paying attention, and he's like, "What a jerk he is! He's just an idiot." Well, so that got a lot of the ire of people, and then yesterday happened,
and he was at the Caitlin Clark Indiana introduction press conference.
And you don't the audio, you can't, which we'll play the audio here in a sec. But the visual is that he's doing like the little heart sign with his hand. He's like, you know, showing her a heart, like. When he's asking her questions, he's like, hey, look at me, love that you're here. And he's doing a goofy little heart sign. So that is what you can't see. So you got to just envision that when you listen to the audio clip.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. So... question is
what?
Yeah.
Oh,
could you
that is Greg with two G's behavior. It really is.
He spells his first and last name wrong.
Yeah,
like that's a feat.
You like that?
That's a feat.
Just the, and she looks like,
get his two drops of here. I'm so glad you're here.
You.
Keep doing that to me, we'll be fine.
Yeah. Very weird. Now,
people are like, not trying to make a crazy statement here, but no one's going to say much if they take his press pass for that creepiness.
People wouldn't have said much about taking his press pass if it was before.
Yeah, it was before.
There's a lot of people that don't like Greg.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that love him, though. He's got a devoted fan base. He does.
What a creepy, creepy thing to do.
No. Uniquely oafish. Is what it is. Clumsy and awkward.
He followed up, today in my uniquely oafish way, while welcoming Caitlin Clark to Indy, I formed my hands into her signature heart. My comment after was clumsy and awkward. I sincerely apologize. Please know my heart, literally and figuratively, was well-intentioned. I will do better. Then he follows up, and he says, column coming. And then he writes, Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry. Today, I was part of the problem.
Yeah,
so,
people are making this into... A greater issue that this just isn't there. This is a fake. That's a fake. There's nothing. He was an idiot, right? This is not something he needs to go out there and write columns and about.
He's writing it for his own good.
Oh, I know.
He's not being forced to write this column.
He doesn't need to apologize. He tried an attempted humor and levity or whatever, and it backfired. You don't need to apologize for that. Like, that to me is just like, he's not part of the problem. He is a problem in general. He's not part of any greater problem. That to me, this whole story got blown out.
What is the problem that he's even describing?
I think misogyny. I think he's talking about misogyny. Like, he's.
Jemele Hill.
He treated her differently.
Like an object.
I wouldn't even say as an object. He just treated her
as
differently than he would a male in this that got drafted by the Pacers.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And. She just wants to be treated like an NBA player, like, right? And I get that, but you know, he tried to be funny. He tried to be cutesy with it, and it just completely fell flat.
Like, it's such an obvious line that's going to get you killed, though.
Yeah,
like it's not just clumsy. It's just you're an idiot. That's what it is. You're a moron.
Yeah.
Either you are just critically stupid, or you knew exactly what you were doing, and I didn't think anybody was gonna say anything to me about it. Now I gotta pretend like I feel bad.
What's up with these Indy guys, though? I thought Indy was like mild mannered, cool. We got Dan Dockich, Greg Doyle,
and who was the other guy?
I've never seen more smoking per square foot than Indianapolis.
I thought that was Jacksonville.
Oh, give it up for our Rangers guest of the month, Josh Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson, baby.
We're the Ranger station where you killed it with the interview a few weeks ago. You turned the Metroplex into fans of you, so we had to acknowledge you in person. Thank you. Kill it on the golf course. There it is, Josh Donaldson. So who's the number one most hated now that Josh has been bumped down?
Oh,
Smoltz?
Josh Smoltz. Josh was never number one. It was always Batista.
Batista was
number one. Yeah,
he was just sticking up for his teammate. I get it, right? You're sticking up for your team. But now listen.
Guys, I'm just trying to do like radio theatrics here.
He was always the bad boy.
It's Smoltz, Batista, and I mean, people still to this day hate Robin Ventura.
Peyton Russell helps a stripper with her taxes. It's Thursday, so it's a payload for the 6 a.m. club next.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
Ah, yes, that is right. Another episode of The Payload. Every Thursday at this time right here on The Fan. Get in on the... Bobby, stop. You know, Bobby, look, you're hundreds of miles away, 30 miles away, and you ruin my segment every single time.
Not even 30.
Probably about 12.
Maybe 12. Look, Tech, we'll get right into it. We got a lot to get to in here in The Payload. Tech's day was on Monday, right, RJ? You know, you talked about it. Did you get your refund yet? Do we have an update on that?
I haven't even filed yet, Peyton.
Oh, nothing. Okay, so we have nothing.
I'm still waiting on last year's refund.
My mommy has mine. So I don't know why with the family account they don't send it to me like they have every other year. But I'm waiting. I'm waiting on a nice fat check.
No, the government has more of my money is what they have. $2,187 to be exact.
Well, so we get to our first story here. This stripper went through her taxes. Now, in this audio clip, it's about a minute long. She goes through everything she made in 2023, and it gives you an idea of how much do strippers really make. You know, they get mainly cash payments, some credit cards here, and then she discusses
how much. Where
are they
swiping?
I think you can go to the bar tab. I think, you know, well, when I went to a gentleman's club, I think that's what you went to, but yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You go to the bar.
They bring
tab.
A card reader to the table.
You can pay for it, I think, card, you know, because not everyone wants to go to the ATM. I went to the ATM many, many times and got screwed multiple times
got
doing
a
that.
Chip reader right there.
So, so let's play this audio clip. This is a stripper. She goes through how much she made in 2023 and then how much she also owed on taxes, which is a lot of money.
To start, my 1099 income, so basically my credit card transaction income for 2023 was $134,275.50. And then my cash income from 2023 that I self-reported was $238,502.50. And then in 2023, I also dabbled a little bit in OnlyFans and the Black and Orange site, if you know what I'm saying. So on OnlyFans, I made $5,853.88. And on the other site, I made $5,737.90. So my total 2023 income before deductions and expenses was $384,369.78. Looking at my 1040 that was filed to the IRS, the amount that I owe in taxes for 2023, $116,722.
See, Bobby, your $2,100 is nothing compared to what these strippers have to deal with. These overnight dancers, as Bonte would say.
What expenses is she deducting?
I mean, clothes?
Outfits?
A tripod?
I bet you she can deduct all her clothes, all her fit, nutrition,
all the overnight
gym
dancers.
Membership. I bet she can deduct that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. You tell me.
Any kind of plastic surgery she might be able to deduct.
Oh, yeah.
Nails. Getting her nails done.
But why is she declaring all this, man? Isn't it just straight cash, homie?
It's straight cash. I mean,
she's
doing
the
right
secret?
Thing. They're, quote, unquote, the honorable thing.
Why do all these restaurants cash only? Why?
Yeah, and that's why they give you a discount. You pay cash. Oh, here's your cash price.
Exactly.
And here's your credit card price. Yeah. Right, yeah. She doesn't need to be adding.
She's declaring way too much.
Yeah.
But how about that? Peyton, did it say what state she's in, city and state?
It did not. I don't think so.
Because I was curious of like what states exotic dancers make the most money. I get it if it's Nevada.
Isn't it Atlanta?
Atlanta. Mm. Yes. Atlanta, Vegas. But I was like, there's no way this is like in the Midwest somewhere.
What do you think? What do you think Dallas dancers do? Where do you think they'd fall in the what percentile?
Ask Wolchuk. He was Mr. Baby Dolls. He was posted up there every single week.
That's true. But I mean, he was. I don't think it was just because he was around it doesn't mean that like he got close enough to talk to all of them.
Okay, Bobby. Yeah, he was just there at the front with the promo guy handing out pins, fan
exactly.
pins.
Exactly. He was reading his Bible.
Yeah, so there it is, the tax problems, the tax issues of the overnight dancers.
And she said she only made like $5,000 on OnlyFans an entire year. That's pathetic.
What's the other one? What's Black and Orange?
PH.
Yeah, the hub.
The hub.
People are saying she's from Miami.
Oh, yeah, Miami.
Makes sense. All right,
was
guys,
she attracted to Pepe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brunette, glasses. Yeah, she was.
Did you sub her?
No, I did not. I have a girlfriend, and she's listening right now. So I would not be subbing into that. Thank you, Bobby, for pointing that out. And, Bobby, your text yesterday to the group message popped up, and she saw it. So congrats. Thanks for doing that.
Wow.
Shout out Tiffany Gomez. Okay, so this next one. This is the next one. You guys are on a golf course right now at a country club, and there's an old man here. He gets really mad at these youngsters because of their slice. And, Chop, I want to have your opinion on this. If this ever happened to you, you know, people buy houses right off a golf course. You know your house is going to get hit. The window's going to get knocked up. You know, here's this old man going at these kids here.
I'm a mad mother right now.
I know, I bet. I have windows, too.
Yeah. What's your name?
Vitaly.
All right, Vitaly. You owe me $681. I'm god mannered s***. Yeah. You can't hit this god thing's 200 yards wide, and you're hitting houses.
Slice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're sorry? I'm out of window. Go to the next hole.
I haven't hit yet.
Yeah, I haven't
hit it.
Slice is a slice, Chop. You know, it happens. You pay for a property on the golf course. You know, these things happen. I mean, are there windows you get that are different than other windows that are golf ball proof? Or what do you do here in this situation?
To me, it's quite simple. Don't move on a golf course if you don't want a ball hitting your window. Now, what was there first, the golf course or the house? If it's the golf, you know, that may play a part in it.
Oh, it's like me and the Copperheads. I'm on their territory.
Right, you're on their territory. Yeah. I don't know, and I think a lot of places are different. A lot of golf courses will say you're responsible for it. I mean, you know, try to prove that in the court of law, man. I didn't intend to break their window. I intended to hit the ball 320 yards down the middle.
I wanted a house here, like in this area, before I settled on the one that I got, and it was like really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Property taxes and coming in here, but I was fully prepared. Like, I got to deal with golf balls flying at me.
You got to deal with golf balls. My dad hit a woman in the head while she was in the pool at her house.
Hit her right in
the head with a golf ball. He knew he hit it right. He hits it right, and he just drives down the fairway. He's like, I ain't going over there to get it. Just drop one and hit it again.
And the homeowners, they can't do anything about this, right? I mean, he hit their house. It's not like, I mean, they can't be like, well, your slice sucks so bad, you know, you're going to pay. Like when he said, you owe me $600. So
there's a lie.
Did the woman run out on
her husband did, and she's like, dude, I got called the ambulance. She's passed out. And he's like, I'm sorry, man. Like, I didn't.
Pass out?
Yeah, he knocked her out. He hit her in the head with a golf ball from 300 yards that away.
I'll tell you, do you know Brookhaven Country Club?
I'm aware of it.
Okay, so I grew up.
Well.
No.
All right, Jordan Spieth.
No. If you know the area, I did not grow up on the country club. I grew up in the area, which the area is not necessarily like bougie. But I was, I remember I was driving, like one of the first times I was driving by Brookhaven Country Club. And a ball came flying off the course, bounced on the street, and hit my side mirror. And it, like, cracked the little side mirror in the car.
Did you go looking for someone?
No, I did not. That was new money over there.
The payload continuing every Thursday at this time on 105.3 The Fan.
So text in 877-881-1053, Franco, injury attorney text line. If you live on a golf course, has this happened to you? How do you react to it? Or do you just collect the golf balls like I would? Because I would just, you know, have a big jar of golf balls and never have to pay for any more in my life.
Yes.
Okay, this next one. Now, RJ, you've played pickleball before. I don't know if Bobby and Sean, you've played pickleball. I have not, but in New York City, it is the number one spot to pick up hot singles. This is where you go. You know, we talked about the airport and how girls have been dressed up to go to the airport. They try and find their lovers, you know, when they're going on their flight to wherever they're going destination. And now they're going to the pickleball court. You know, I guess what? You get a couple duos going like that. You get two guys, two girls playing each other. And then now in this article, they talked about you can talk like during the pickleball match. Is that true, RJ? Can you talk to the other person? Is it a social event here? It seems like a match, really, like a tennis match. But these guys are talking to each other.
I mean, when I went, it was a lot of older folks at the time I was there. But I could absolutely see how if there was a younger crowd in the area we were, you could easily make conversation because the courts are so stacked. And you know, it's playing tennis. The ball goes in somebody else's court all the time.
Perfect pickup line.
And it's a perfect chance to do that.
Hasn't Spittle told us in our meetings, hasn't he become like big pickleball guy?
Yes.
Or like he says the courts are all getting used up for it now.
Yep.
stuff like that.
Any place where he can meet women, he'll pick up the hobby.
So I mean, then that if he's playing pickleball, that should tell you it must be a good spot for it. That there's a lot of opportunity there.
And in this article, they're interviewing these women, and they're, you know, early 20s, 24, 25, and they're saying that they're dressing up like full makeup and everything, going out to this and working out, basically. But the point is for them to pick up a nice-looking gentleman.
Yeah, because when I think of, like, when you go out to the tennis courts, it's like an older, cougary type.
Sure.
Female.
Yeah, pickleball is a little, can be younger. Yeah, you know what it was? It was a lot of groups. When we were there, it was a lot of groups, a lot of group parties. So, like, that could be, like, not a situation. It could be a little bit more intimidating because you got a lot of group parties there. But yeah, if it's just a if you're the friends going out, I think it's an easy spot. Easy.
I don't feel like I would be very good at pickleball
or
I
anything.
Think you would.
Anything.
No, I mean, like, perfect example right out here. What we're looking at, what I would crush.
You know, we got to get a club in his hand out here.
I just saw Adam Thielen, by the way, our boy.
Oh yeah,
he's getting breakfast, getting a little brekkie.
Okay,
what was having? He got some scrambies.
He is having some scrambles.
And one more update here. My girlfriend, Mackenzie, is listening. She texts me. She said, it's okay. You can get with the stripper, Peyton. So, you know what? I got the pass here. So, when I go to Vegas next month, you know, I'll be going to a club, I guess.
She just doesn't want you. Never mind.
Hit up the Rhino, baby.
So is that the one out there?
Now, listen, I haven't been out to the Rhino
in probably about
5 years. When I was yes, it was that. That was it. Now, there are some people would say Sapphires. I disagree. I think Sapphires is massively overrated. The Rhino is absolutely where to go. We know about the Rhino.
There's the payload here every Thursday. Sorry, I'm like talking to four different people. Tom Glavine may stop by. DeMarcus Ware may stop by. Ooh. All the celebs. Adam Thielen. We may have to go harass him as well. We are live at the Invited Celebrity Classic. You don't know what's going to happen next right here on Sean and RJ 105.3 of the Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.